In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with Sister Giovanna Kaposa. And this is a great day to talk about her. This was written on her 100th anniversary, birthday anniversary in 2020. Her parents knew and loved the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, and entrusted their daughter to Luisa when she was very young. She learned much from the servant of God, in addition to how to do the tumbalo, and that's how to make lace, the lace for the church, and assimilated her Luisa's spirituality. She was, Father Pucci said, she was a mine of information. She never ceased to speak about Luisa. She knew very well all the clergymen who went to see Luisa. And it says when Sister was in the convent, when Sister was with Sister Giovanni in the convent, she was inexhaustible. She said, she told me everything that I did not know. She told that one day Father Gennaro had gone to speak to Luisa when he was celebrating the Holy Mass. And he was raised from the earth, leaving her terrified since she was still a child. So he elevated. He was from the ground. Okay. So Sister says her talks were centered also on the person of Rosaria Bucci, who was a relative of Sister and spoke of Rosaria Bucci very, very often. And we're going to learn more about Rosaria Bucci as time goes on. God gave her a mission, and the mission was to help all those souls, all the children who were aborted, all the children that were miscarried, all the children that did not come to full term. And God's going to do a great miracle with Rosaria. And especially now, you know, you can see with all the miscarriages that are happening worldwide and the pregnancies that are not being completed. Many, many things, and then even the abortion that's happening. This is going to be a great blessing for the church and for the world. So here's a letter of number two from Luisa to Sister Giovannina. To my dearest sister, in memory of her vows, always with Jesus. So here, Luisa is going to teach us something too. If you ever get discouraged, you can't get to the writings of Luisa, writings, you know, the Book of Heaven, the Hours of the Passion, the Virgin Mary. Read her letters. Listen to what she says. She says, you have to have your mind toward heaven. You have to gaze. Your gaze must be to the cross of Jesus. The heart is to love Jesus. Your arms, listen to this, are always in the act of hugging Jesus. And this is one of the things that we can do during Christmas, is with the baby Jesus, celebrating his birth. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to the earth, being born of the Virgin Mary, hugging him, kissing him. And he says, like when you kiss the cross or when you kiss, even a little statue, Jesus says, I know that what your desire is to be with me. And he says, I will accept your kiss as you're actually kissing me, Jesus says. Calling Jesus, the words you should always say are fiat. In each thing, never escape from acquiring a degree of sanctity. So we are here on earth to be sanctified. We are here on earth to become saints. And it is essential. No more darkness in our life. No, the light of Jesus, the light of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve is what Luisa possessed. And this is what we want. We want, especially to make this Christmas season, this Advent season, thanking God, praising God, loving God, glorifying God, spending time with our Eucharistic Lord. This is, make yourself a saint. Fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with the Blessed Mother, the new Adam and the new Eve. Make yourself a saint. Jesus wants it. This we say this often, make Jesus content. Become a saint. That's volume 1 through volume 10. To live in the divine will is volume 11 through volume 19. To receive the divine inheritance of the Father, to go back to where Adam was before the fall, is volume 20 through volume 36. So here in letter 135 from Luisa to sister, my good daughter, Sister Giovanna Nina, thank you for your attentions and letting me hear your news. What I recommend to you is never leave the will of God. Okay, see, you always want to be in this light. You always want to be in this life, this love of God. Never leave the divine will. Always seek the divine will. And again, the divine will is not doing the will of God. That's what the saints have taught us. You would pray, should I take the left road or the right road? Which way should I take? And that's doing the will of God. To live in the will of God is to live one with Jesus, one with Mary. Jesus breathing in your breathing. Jesus beating in your heart beating. Jesus gazing in our gazing, listening in our listening, praying in our praying. And what we want to do is we want to pray for souls. We want to gather all the souls of the world and present them to Jesus and pleading for mercy on all of humanity, begging God that he would be merciful. The divine justice is coming. And remember what scripture says about Elijah. He will come again to restore all things. He will come again. And this feast of the divine will is getting us ready for what God is going to do. Never look at the one who commands you. She's talking to the sister. If you want to possess peace. See, a lot of people say, who do you think you are telling me to do this? And Luisa says, don't look at the one who commands you. If you want to possess peace, let the divine will reign in your soul. So this fiat that we give is constant. It's constant fiat. If it's raining out, fiat. If it's sunny out, fiat. If it's cold, it's outside, fiat. If it's rainy outside, fiat. That's just the weather. Now let's think of, you have to wash the dishes, fiat. You have to sweep the floor, fiat. It's everything becomes a yes to God. It's you dwell in peace with the fiat. The fiat lux was let there be light and the universe began. The fiat mihi of the Blessed Mother was let it be done to me as you say. The Holy Spirit is, the angel said, will come upon you and you will conceive this child. She says, let it happen to me. And now with the third fiat, fiat voluntas tua, it's may your kingdom reign in this dust on earth as it is in heaven. So we want to breathe in this rule of God. We want to really become peaceful, joyful, and happy. So if you let the divine will reign, you will feel a divine strength within your soul. Now, this is Luisa talking to us, which will give you the grace to do everything that the superiors command of you. And you will feel Jesus working and doing everything together with you. You will never feel alone, but you will always be together with Jesus, who will be your master. And Jesus will guide your steps, and Jesus will hold you tightly in his arms. See, this is about, it's not about being alone anymore. You're one with Jesus. Jesus wants you he wants you to allow him for you to experience his heart beating in your heart beating, his breath breathing in your breathing. He wants you to vividly experience this. And if you're not vividly experiencing it, don't be afraid. Don't be worried. There's a little bit more you got to do. You've got to die more to your ego and your will. You got to die to worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. You can't be happy in your human will. Your human will is what we say when we go to confession. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live like this. I want to make a firm purpose of amendment to avoid every near occasion of sin. I want to make a firm purpose of amendment to not let any darkness enter into me. Because you're feeding the demon of worry. You're feeding the demon of fear. You're feeding the demon of anxiety. You're keeping it alive in you. And you're miserable. Jesus says, you want to be peaceful? He says, always do everything together with me. I will be your master. I will guard your steps. I will hold you tightly in my arms. So here is, again, something that's so important for us. We want this gift of gifts. We want this prodigy of prodigies. We want this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary that Jesus has given to us. But we have to begin to discipline ourselves. And I mentioned this before. You have to be that drill sergeant. You have to be that drill sergeant saying, you know, enough of this darkness. Begin to live in the light. No more worry. Jesus said to the apostles, does worry add one moment to your life? And he says, of course it doesn't. He says, stop worrying. This is a command from Jesus. Stop being afraid. Love destroys all fear. Stop being anxious. Jesus, you're going to take care of this. Don't look at the past. Don't look at the future. Live in the now with Jesus. That's what he teaches Louisa. So she says at the end, I leave you in the divine volition. If you want to keep me content, keep me close to the doors so that you may never leave it. Keep me. Yeah, so listen to what she's saying. I leave you in the divine will. And if you want to keep me content, let me close the doors, she says. Close the doors of your human will. So you never leave God again, that you may always be one with him. And that my sister sends you her greetings, and I greet you with the love of the fiat. Most affectionately yours, a little daughter of the divine will, Louisa. The interview of Sister Giovannina, a personal witness of the little friend of Louisa. Here's the review here. An interview was made in 1994 in the convent of the Sisters of Divine Zeal, and where Sister Giovanna lived. Sister Giovannina has contributed a great deal with love and with her innocent childlike spirit in providing information and personal witness on the figure of Louisa for the cause of her beatification. And this is the great thing, to know people in the divine will. They are like Sister, very little, very humble, very joy-filled, very happy people. And this is how we're supposed to live. So she says she was one of the young girls, the trainees, who used to go daily to Louisa's house in order to learn how to work the tumbalo. That's the making of the lace. In contact with Louisa produced in her, as in many others who visited Louisa, infinitely greater spiritual fruits. That to me is what Louisa is about. You're going to be introduced spiritually to a higher reigning, a higher degree of spiritual fruits that the saints couldn't give you. I mean, we love the saints, but the saints didn't know about the divine will. The only one who was given this gift was Louisa. And with this gift, Jesus says, the destiny of the world is found in you, Louisa Picaretta. The destiny of the world is found in you. And through you, Louisa, what I have given to you, Louisa, Jesus says, and what my mother has given to you, Louisa, will be given to all of humanity. So yeah, this was something together with Louisa, the saint, until the day of her death. This is Eugenia Caravelli. This was on June 4th, 2012. Louisa Picaretta, this is what she says. Louisa Picaretta, known as Little Louisa La Santa, Louisa the saint, as Father Bucci would say, the saint of the divine will, is the most famous religious figure in the city of Corrado, as well as known and venerated all over the world. She was born on April 23rd, 1865, and died on March 4th, 1947. She spent most of her life on a bed, suffering from the corpse rigidity. Okay, at night she would turn into a stone. She would like have rigor mortis. This is what she's saying, inexplicable to the doctors. Father Bucci would tell me that if Louisa was like turning off the light and she was reaching like this and the rigidity came, her hand would be out like this until the priest came the next morning to bless her and she'd come back to her human condition. And nobody could move her. Nobody could put her hand down. Nobody could lift her up. She was She weighed like a ton. You know, I mean, they said there was no one could move her. Nobody, until the priest came in. And the priest would bless her and say, Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One. And once he would do this, she would come back to being living a human life again. And one time, a priest just said, I don't want to go and do this for Louisa. Who does she think she is? So for 18 days, she was in this position of rigidity. And when he came in and saw her after 18 days, he said, how long has this been going on? And they said, for 18 days. And he realized that it was his responsibility, the priest's responsibility, to bring her back. And Louisa would talk about this when the priest didn't show up, if the priest was sick or if refused to show up, she couldn't breathe. She couldn't, she wasn't alive at all. She was dead, but she was alert to everything that was happening around her. And, when the priest discovered this, that it was his fault that, she was in this situation for, more than a half a month, he vowed at that point to always be there to help her. And that this was the thing that bothered Louisa the most, that the priest had to come. She would say, Jesus, you just bring me back to life, every morning. Don't have a priest come in. Don't bother him. She was very humble. And Jesus says, no, I want the priest to be here. I want the priest to see what you're going through. I want the priest to know what you have gone through. So Louisa acceptably derives not only from her being a victim of pain and a physical suffering, but from her extreme devotion, from her particular relationship and dialogue that Louisa had with Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ, and with the Blessed Mother. And she declared that which she declared had appeared to her several times. This is the woman talking, of the 36 volumes written in her own hand. But according to the priest, according to Louisa, this was dictated to her by Jesus Christ himself. I'm sorry for the confusion here. It's written kind of interesting. To testify, despite only having a first grade education. She only had a first grade education. And I've told you about my priest friend who has doctorates in philosophy. And when I showed him the first time the Louisa, I said, what do you think? He says, humans don't write like this. I said, what do you mean? He says, a human couldn't have written this. Humans don't think this way. I said, well, who wrote it? And he says, well, God must have written this. And I said, you're absolutely right. It was under Jesus's direction. And this is why it's called the language of heaven. There are certain things that as you read, you become aware of. It's like learning any language. You become aware of certain truths that Jesus wants us to know. And the way he says it, it's done from a heavenly perspective. So from 1946 to the day of Louisa's death, this lady, Eugenia, was 21 years old in the house, she was at the house every single day. Now, Eugenia is now 87 years old and has very clear memories of the past. And she tells us in very clear language, mixing Italian with her dialect. Eugenia was born in Calabria in, the province of Cortone in 1925, after being orphaned. In 1928, she was taken to Corrado in the orphanage located in the house of the Sisters of the Congregation of Divine Zeal, a religious institute wanted by St. Honorable de Maria de Francia, and was inaugurated that year. So in 1928, the house was opened and Louisa went to the house on October 7th. In fact, Eugenia was the orphan number 8, and the number indicated the order of arrival at the orphanage. So she was there right from the very beginning. And it is in this institute that the first meeting with Louisa has taken place. In fact, St. Honorable de Francia who had come from Corrado at the beginning of the century to meet Luisa about there was so much talk. And then he became her extraordinary confessor and reviser of her books. What does that mean? He would ask Luisa, and I saw the books. There's handwriting in pencil along the side of the pages. And it was not correcting her. That's one of the things that you have to understand. Father Inibile would say to her, "Now, does this correspond with what you said in like, say, if it was book number 6, in book number 2, where Jesus told you such and such?" And then it would be a yes or no. Or usually it was a yes. Father was very, very accurate at understanding the language. And, you know, he was taught about the supernatural because he was also the spiritual director of Saint Melanie. It's Blessed Melanie now, of La Salette. They worked together to form the Daughters of Divine Zeal. So he knew this. And so she was asked to be there on October 7th of 1928. And she stayed there, for 10 years on October 7th, 1938. So Eugenia tells us about those years. She says, "I don't remember anything about the first years because I was only 3 years old when Luisa arrived at the convent. What I remember is when I was older, when I saw her every day at recess, when we, the children, went to the large garden of the orphanage." That's right off where the chapel is. When you go there, you'll see it. Also, Luisa came into the garden and some of us pushed her in the wheelchair that she was in. I too have pushed it many times. And I remember she spoke city about all of Jesus and religious topics. I don't know what that means, but it's like a dialect, I think. When Eugenia was 13, Luisa had to leave the convent due to the higher dispositions of the clergy at that time and moved to a house in Via Maddalena in the center of Corrado, which was, when you go into the association, it's the next street over north. It's the North Street. Now, what's there as you walk into at the end of the street, not in the main street, but the end inside the town, that's where the church, St. Cataldo Church, was there. And during the earthquake that happened, and you'll see some of the buildings are still dilapidated. The church collapsed. She prayed that church would come back, that they rebuild the church. They sort of rebuilt it and made like a little monument there, but wait till it happens. There's good things that are going to happen when that church is rebuilt. Luisa promised Jesus she would do many things. So there's a lot of things that are going to happen. So it's the same street that Father Benedito Calvary, a priest of Corrado, who was there since 1926, had been delegated by the Archbishop Leo as the ordinary confessor of Luisa Picaretta. He also was the chaplain of the House of the Sisters of the Congregation of Divine Zeal and was very fond of Eugenia, I'm hopefully I'm saying it right, this orphan, and was always kind and polite, very good at working with a pillow lace. And she had learned from the nuns. She says that Father Benedetto loved me very much. And when I was confirmed, he told me, I don't want to buy you a gift at this time, but my gift is a promise that when you are the age, I will host you in my house with my family. So as soon as she turned 21, she went to live with Father Benedetto in that house complex where Luisa was as well. It was the, and that was right across the street from where the church, St. Cataldo Church, used to be. So the rectory was where the church was. And now it's a big open market. A lot of people park their cars there, but someday that will be the Church of St. Cataldo. Now, St. Cataldo was an Irish bishop who got in a shipwreck off the coast near Trani, and was saved and came and lived in Corrado for a while. And he is the patron saint, St. Cataldo, of Corrado. And the feast day is May 10th, I think. I think it's May 10th. So as soon as she turned 21, she went to live there with his sister in the house opposite to the one that was right next to it. Another section of that house where Luisa La Santa lived. After 8 years in 1946, Eugenia then met Luisa again. Indeed, her home became a daily appointment for her precisely by virtue of the role of Don Benedito Calvi, who he was Luisa's confessor, and he took care of Luisa as well. Every afternoon, my uncle's sister, and that's what he wanted me to call him, considering me as his niece. We chatted in Luisa's house and waited there for the uncle to return after having to fulfill all his religious commitments, which we were there to keep Luisa company or to help Luisa's sister with some housework. Eugenia remembers that in the last year of Luisa's life, Luisa La Santa, she was always on her bed sitting, and she often worked on the pillows with many girls who came to the house to learn. Her sister Angelina prepared her food in very small portions. She ate, but after a short time, she felt like throwing up. In fact, there was always a container ready near her bed. Now, Father Bucci saw her eat the crackers and the grapes. She would eat them and swallow them, and then they would come right up, you know, whole and glistening. And he was just astonished. He saw her chew them and swallow them. And then they would come up, she'd take them out of their mouth and put them back on the plate. But here, as she's getting older and getting ready for heaven, she was getting sick with any food. See, the bishop told her she had to eat every day. Jesus told her, you're not going to eat anymore. So every time she ate under the obedience of the bishop, because Jesus has obeyed the bishop, she would eat, and then it would come up, sometimes whole, sometimes, you know, in the little bucket there. Her only nourishment was the sacred host at Holy Communion. She received communion every day, and immediately afterwards, she wanted to be left alone to speak with the Lord. So what Father Bucci would say is, after she received Holy Communion, for 2 hours, she'd be in ecstasy. 2 hours, she would just be glowing, he would say. And as a matter of fact, there's one picture of her just looking up, that's Father Bucci says that's a picture of her in ecstasy. So she wanted to be left alone to speak with the Lord. So we would leave the room for an hour or two until she told us we could go back in. Very often she wrote her in her diaries and then handed them over to Father Benedito, who corrected them. And she was certainly a woman. I think she was certainly just amazing. The saints that were related to Luisa, the saints related to Luisa's life and writings. Our Lady, Mary, most holy, daughter of the Father, mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, spouse and temple of the Holy Spirit, queen of the divine will. Her feast day was of her birth, September 8th. After Luisa's mystical marriage on the feast of the birth of Mary, September 8th, 1899, Jesus took Luisa to paradise to renew their marriage in the presence of the most holy Trinity. That's in volume one. On this occasion, Luisa was given the possession of the gift of the divine will, 1889. Her new birth into the kingdom of the divine will, this possessing this gift in 1889. The feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the feast of the divine will, is August 15th. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, said to Luisa on the Assumption, "Now, blessed child, you must know that this was the first feast made in heaven for the divine will." So Our Lady and our Lord both tell Luisa, the feast of the divine will is the feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. That's why every August 15th, we have a reunion of the little family of Luisa. This little family, Jesus says, are also going to be blessed with this great gift of the divine will that Our Lady possessed. So it's a great celebration. If you haven't been there, it's in Rome City, Indiana. This is where Our Lady of America appeared to Sister Mary Ephraim. They say it's allegedly. We know she did, but the church can't say it until there's a miracle that's coming. So when this miracle happens, there's going to be no doubt. And Jesus tells us, Jesus told us through Sister Mary Ephraim that the sign that I'm going to give to the world is basically Sister Mary Ephraim. Like I keep on saying, we haven't seen anything yet. God is getting us ready for what he is going to do. There's going to be no doubt of what God has planned for humanity. And our job is to pray for all souls, past, present, and future, that all souls can embrace this gift that God is going to give to the world. So, blessed daughter, you must know that this was the first feast made in heaven for the divine will, which had worked so many prodigies in this creature, Our Lady, the Blessed Mother. Therefore, at my entrance into heaven, the whole celestial court celebrated the beautiful and great things that the divine fiat can work in a human, in the Blessed Mother. And since then, the feasts have never been repeated. And this is why your mother loves so much that the divine will reign in the souls in an absolute way, to give the divine will the field, the way, the place, in order to let the divine will repeat the great prodigies and the marvelous feasts also in the souls of her children through little Louisa. This is, as you read the Book of Heaven, you're filled with hope. You're filled with confidence. You're filled with trust what God is going to do. And this is the thing that is so wonderful. He frees us from the misery of what Adam did. Adam said, I'm not doing the divine will. I'm living my will. I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to do it my way. And we've been in this miserable condition for 6,000 years. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came, redeemed us with his Blessed Mother. And now, after 2,000 years, Jesus says, now is the time that I'm going to bring sanctification to the earth. I'm going to bring this new and divine, John Paul II prophesied that, a new and divine wave of holiness that's coming to the earth. So Santa Maria Greca, the parish of the cause of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, where it began, the place of Luisa's baptism, the baptismal font is right there in the church, and the sacraments that she received, where she is now buried at the front of the right side of the high altar. She is getting closer and closer to what God has planned. The miraculous image of Saint Maria Greca was heaven sent in 1656. Now they told me that there's only two images from heaven of our Blessed Mother to earth. One of them is Our Lady of Guadalupe, and the other one is where Luisa is buried, the Church of Santa Maria Greca. Okay. This is the Roman Catholic faithful in Corrado were given this immediately following the vision granted them by the Catholic priest, Don Francesco. The schism of the church could possibly explain the vertical large crack in the left side of the board. So here on this table, this image from heaven appeared. A blind woman saw it. You know, there's so many miracles that are there. She saw it. Look what's on the table. Look at this image of Our Lady. And there's a crack in it. Because the schism of the Eastern and Western Church happened in that area, Apulia. Basically that's when Islam took over Nazareth, they made Trani the titular diocese of Nazareth, and that's in the title. So when you think about it, Our Lady came from Nazareth, Luisa came from Corrado, and then Jesus uses this. If you read the last chapter of volume 24, he talks about Corrado, he talks about Nazareth, he talks about Jerusalem, he talks about Rome, and how everything's going to come back. Even the church is going to be healed because of what God is going to do in Corrado, what God is going to do with Luisa. There's not going to be division anymore. And then all the denominations of all the Christians will come together. Then all of the religions will come to, and everyone will become Catholic. That's what Jesus, there will be one church, one flock, one shepherd for humanity. See, the schism was there. So he says the large pastoral Greek cross, the royal crown, and the Oriental style surrounds the head of the Blessed Mother. Her eyes are directed toward the observer with an air of majesty and love. And she, Our Lady seems to be saying in this image, have recourse to me with confidence. Do not doubt. She says, I am the queen, but I am also your mother. And that's what she says to Juan Diego. Sorry. I am your mother. Thus possibly refuting many arguments regarding the church's views on Mary's role, that she's not only Theotokos, accepted by the East and the West, but she is mediatrix. She is co-redemptrix. She is advocate, awaiting that final dogmatic proclamation in the West. It's going to happen. Unacceptable by the Eastern Orthodox Church, the Roman Catholic Church formally proclaimed on December 8th, 1854, by Pope Pius IX, in his papal bull, the dogma of the Immaculate Conception. Just before the apparition of the Blessed Virgin Mary to St. Bernadette Subaru in Lourdes. Now, St. Bernadette appeared to Sister Mary Ephraim. And what Our Lady said, this is another good thing to know. Our Lady said that there'll be more miracles where Our Lady is right now is Rome City, Indiana. Because of the miraculous water that's there, the healing waters, than at Lourdes and Fatima combined. There's going to be more miracles than at Lourdes and Fatima combined. So you can imagine what's coming. Our Lady said to St. Bernadette, I am the Immaculate Conception. Then in 1917, further confirmation confirming unacceptable theology by the East, the Blessed Virgin Mary appears to three young children in Fatima, Portugal, and showing the children the vision of hell, purgatory, heaven, purgatory, and hell. Places denied by the East. She additionally gives warnings to all to reform their lives and to establish devotion to her Immaculate Heart. She mentions in a warning the Pope affirming heavens, acknowledging the chair of Peter, definitively argued by the Eastern and what church and the Protestants. There is going to be one church, one flock, one shepherd. Jesus' words, we're going to see it happen. We're going to see this happen. Also, the miraculous image shows the mother and queen holding the divine infant Jesus. Listen, this is so good. Himself blessing the world, or perhaps gesturing the world to turn to the Blessed Mother. For it is Our Lady that is adorned with a crown. Additionally, she appears majestically seated on clouds. The cloud is mystery and power. That's what a cloud symbolizes mystery and power. The little bell upon the clouds at the feet of the Madonna suggests the predestination of the little daughter of the divine will, Luisa Picaretto, some 300 years yet to come. Because Jesus says to Luisa, he says, you are my little bell that I will ring continuously to bring everyone into the kingdom. That's the prophecy of Jesus about Luisa. That's one of the many, many, many prophecies. So this idea is the confirmation and the possibility of predestination. We have been it's not predestination. It's we have been predestined by God to be alive at this time. We've been predestined by God to get ready for what he is going to do. And this is an idea unacceptable to the East, denying the Immaculate Conception as such. From the last confessor of the Servant of God, Father Benedetto Calvi, the parish priest of the church in Corrado. This is what he said. So in 1931, Jesus said to Luisa, when they have read that I was placing you near the Sovereign Queen. Now, this is one of the things that I've heard. So that she, having lived in the kingdom of my divine fiat, that you, Luisa, might imitate her, wanting to make you a copy that resembles her. And I have placed you in her hands that she may guide you. She may assist you. She may protect you so that you might imitate her in everything. This seems so absurd to some people and sinisterly misrepresenting the sense. They spoke as if I, Jesus, had told you that you were going to be another queen. How much nonsense. I did not say that you are like the celestial queen, but I want you similar to the Blessed Mother. He wants us similar to the Blessed Mother. He wants us to be similar to him. Just as I had said to many other souls dear to me that I wanted them similar to me, but with this, they would not become God like me. And then, since the celestial lady is the true queen of the kingdom of my divine will, it is her task to help. It is her task to teach the fortunate souls, that's us, who want to enter, want to live in the divine will. This is what God is doing. We are so fortunate to have the Book of Heaven. We are so fortunate that God is teaching us day by day. If you're reading the calendar, day by day, he's teaching us to embrace this new and divine way of holiness. It's not really new. It's what God breathed into Adam. And that's why he wants us not only to do the will of God like the saints, but to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? The second Pentecost is coming. We got to get ready for this. Why? So that we can again then receive the divine inheritance of the Father. We can go back to where Adam was before the fall. This is what sanctification is all about. By this, he says, those who want to live in the divine with these fortunate creatures, the people that misinterpreted what Jesus says show that they did not have the power to elect whom I, God, want and when I want. But after all, time will say everything. And just as they cannot deny that the Virgin of Nazareth is my mother, so they will not be able to deny that I have elected you, Luisa, the Virgin of Corrado, for the sole purpose of making my divine will known, that through you, Luisa, I shall obtain the kingdom come and may have its fulfillment. So this is what a glorious time to be alive. We're going to witness the fulfillment of the Our Father. We're going to witness. So Luisa's birthday is the feast of St. George slaying the dragon. St. Aloysius, Luisa was named after her, on her birth certificate, and you can see it. It's Aloysia. It's Aloysia because Jesus said St. Aloysius was the most pure of all saints, and I wanted you to be named after him. In Corrado, in St. Cataldo, the feast day is May 10th. He's the patron of Corrado. Luisa prayed for the reopening of his church in Corrado. And this is what he said. This is the thing that's really great. This will be the last thing we'll do tonight. The promise of Luisa, if she's allowed to die, she kept on saying to Jesus, let me just go to heaven. She says, in the presence of the Most Holy Trinity and of the Mother Queen, Mary Most Holy, and of my guardian angel of the whole celestial court, and in order to obey my confessor, I promise, Luisa says, that if the Lord, by his infinite mercy, should give me the grace of letting me die so I can go to heaven. When I find myself together with my celestial spouse, Jesus, I will pray and I will plead for the triumph, number one, the triumph of the church and the confusion and conversion of our enemies, and that the Catholic Party may triumph in our town, number two, and three, that the Church of Cataldo may be reopened for service. And number four, that my confessor be freed of his usual sufferings with the holy freedom of the Spirit and the sanctity of a true apostle of the Lord. And that always, if the Lord permits, now this is for us. I was talking to Father Bucci about this. I will go to this priest at least once a month to confer about celestial things. And Father Bucci said he was the only one that was reading these writings. Now there's many reading these writings, and this promise to come back to speak, to teach at least once a month is now given to all of us. So as you're reading, call in Luisa. As you're reading, as you're studying, call in Luisa. I will confer about celestial things pertaining the good of his soul, of our souls. And then she says, I promise this all for my part, and I swear. This is a great gift that's God's giving to us. We're going to see things, hear things that the saints only dreamed of, because we have been allowed to be alive at this time. We are the ones who have been the most fortunate creatures, Jesus says, to have the Book of Heaven, to learn how to get ready to be sanctified. Read, study, put this into practice. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. We pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.